El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to host a podcast called Unpopular Opinion, and that podcast was this podcast. But then everyone else in the world decided they liked the name Unpopular Opinion a lot too, so we changed the name to You Don't Even Like This Show. Each week, me and a couple of guests selected from a pool of the absolute sharpest minds the LA entertainment scene has to offer, use this here space to talk about whatever the hell we want. News, pop culture, politics, information, you name it, we talk about it. And sometimes my co-host Jeff May is here too. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show, a podcast about news, pop culture, information, fashion, style, weather, Jeff's bitch ass. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host, my other favorite co-host of all, Jeff's here.
I would like to add that I do not have a bitch ass.
I already said it. And if I said it, the people heard it, which means it's real.
It's another example of disinformation.
Let's move on. Also joining us, the only British person, Ethan Lawrence is here.
He's back in the trap and he's got a bastard ass. How you doing, bruv?
Oh, look at that. Those are words.
How's it going in it?
It's going okay. It's raining outside.
Wait, in England?
Yeah. If you could believe that. April showers.
No, come on. Not in England.
We've got long sleeves. We're in spring.
Doesn't it rain fish and chips there?
Absolutely. It stinks out here.
That's actually a misnomer. It's actually it rains fish or chips, and you have to accommodate the other thing.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We have troughs full of mushy peas that they fall into, so we've got our dinner for the evening.
Uh-oh. That's why you wear long sleeves.
Long green sleeves.
So we're doing a vintage Unpopular Opinions episode, sort of, but we're doing it in the way we did last time, listener opinions. We're going to let these boneheads talk and we're going to respond. We were going to do opinions of our own. Maybe we will at some point, but we got so many when we reached out.
Yeah. You guys got greedy with your unpopular opinions.
Yeah. We got quite a few. So I think we should just dive in because we got a lot to talk about. Up first, Dickless Ruth Tater. Says Ethan, Adam, and Jeff start a Nirvana tribute band. Who plays what instrument? And can I manage you? What would you title each other's memoirs? Okay, triple dip in there.
Ooh, that's a lot.
I'm playing guitar. I'm Kurt Cobain of this. I promise you that.
You think so?
Yeah. Meaning my wife's going to murder me someday.
Excellent. I mean, Chris Novoselic was very tall, wasn't he? So I guess I'm taking the Grohl situation here.
Yeah.
Because Jeff is tall and I am very short.
I want to eat a guitar on my fucking forehead when I throw it up at the 1992 MTV Video Music Awards. So that works for
me.
Don't
forget you're kind of a Republican fuckface now, too.
God damn it. Apparently at that Video Music Awards, they tried picking a fight with Axl Rose because he was a huge piece of shit towards them.
Yeah, I did a whole podcast about Nirvana. They had a whole long running feud, but at that particular event backstage, Courtney Love said something to Axl Rose that he didn't like. And Axl Rose looks at Kurt Cobain and goes, "Get your bitch in line, man." And Kurt Cobain just turned to Courtney Love and goes, "Get in line, bitch."
She said, "Axl, do you want to be the godfather of our child?" Because he had previously said that them having kids should be considered child abuse.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Axl. I don't like Axl Rose.
He's a talented monster.
Very unlikable, man.
Yeah.
I'm happy with being Dave Grohl, honestly. I'm actually made up with that. I've got a long career ahead of me.
Dave Grohl's a talented guy. And yeah, you have a long career, a disappointing career, I would argue. I don't think the Foo Fighters have made a truly great album since, I don't know, the year 2000, maybe?
Well, I'll cry all the way to the bank with that.
Yeah, I don't know who else has a pinball machine in this team here. It's just the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the be-all, end-all of whether you make good albums or not. Yeah, fucking pinball machine. So does Kiss. You know how many good albums they
Kiss
have?
Kiss has a couple of pinball machines, yeah, and they don't have any really good.
They fucking suck. What would you title each other's memoirs? Is that how memoirs work? Other people get to title?
I would title Adam's memoir, "I'm a huge fucking fuckface." who's a bad person and I fuck faces.
Might make it difficult for putting it on shelves. You're going to have to asterisk a lot of that.
I would call Jeff's "I'm sad Adam shot me." But I'd write it while you were still alive. I'd just take out a knee.
I look at the paper. Huh. And then I look up and do what you say. Gun shooting at me.
You slowly fade from existence, like in Back to the Future.
I do like that. Oh, hey, look, there's a Hey There Jeffro opinion in here. It says, my popular opinion is that Adam is a great person.
And that's not what I wrote.
No, that's what it says.
No, I wrote is a bad person who wouldn't last a day. And then I was going to write in the scorch and I typoed out to on the scorch, which you also would not last a day in.
You, in fact, would not last a day in the scorch. How about you, Ethan?
I would last weeks in the scorch.
It's because you'd get lost.
I reckon I could manage 3 days in the scorch.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's a relatively early out, but I'd go in too fast. I think that's the problem. I'd want to get everything done. I'd burn out in the scorch and on the scorch.
If you're going to burn out anywhere, it's going to be in the scorch.
Burn out on the scorch before the scorch burns you out.
All right. Oliver Ballin, what last meal would you have before Mad Max post-apocalypse starts? I'm going to protein up, probably eat a steak or something. Steak. Baked potato. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm going to have a big old fancy steak and a lobster roll because I'm not getting lobster ever again. That's for damn sure.
No.
That's what makes this different from a death row meal, isn't it? You've actually got to plan ahead. Once you've had this, stuff's actually going to happen. I sort of feel this way, though, the same way as I feel about the scorch.
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially the scorch, yeah.
Yeah, so again, I would go in too heavy, too fast. I'd have a big curry or something. Fish and chips,
yeah.
Mushy peas,
all that. I think you would have a trough full of mashed peas. I think we established that already.
Mashed peas? Mushy peas, Jeff. Get it right.
Mushy peas, Jeff.
Oh.
Come on.
Cutting out the middle, man, dude. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I just think if you can't speak the language, you should get out of the country. That's what I think.
Yeah, I bet you do think that.
Also, I just realized these first two that we've started with, not opinions. I asked for opinions, not questions.
Yeah, but we'll let Oliver go because he drove out to meet us from San Bernardino last week.
He sure did, and we appreciate it. Also, Bob Grenville, this is a long one, but it is an opinion. If we're going to have sports drafts, the order should be determined entirely by lottery. No one enjoys watching teams tank for draft order, and it would give teams stuck in the middle a better chance to improve without having to tear themselves down to tank.
Bob, I disagree with you, but whatever.
You disagree on what grounds?
I think that mostly the only time I see teams that end up purposefully tanking is usually a management scenario where they're trying to move. Usually when you interview players on worse teams about their performance, they're like, we're professionals. We're trying to do our best no matter what. Just because the chemistry isn't the same doesn't mean that we're purposefully tanking.
Yeah, I think from an organizational standpoint, you do see it where it's not so much that a team is intentionally losing, but you can tell that with the roster they've built, they're not taking winning all that seriously that season. It's called a rebuild.
That's all part of it, though. The NBA is a lottery. It's just that your placement gets the number of entries you have in there. Maybe that's a better version of that. Baseball never does that. Baseball only tanks to move because that's not really how baseball works and how prospects work. And number one draft picks rarely ever end up becoming what we think they're going to be. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Ethan, do you have sports in England?
Yeah, we have a couple. We've got croquet. I think of another one, lacrosse. I'm thinking of old-timey sports. Bowls, they're all French. I've named all French things.
Soccer doesn't have a draft, right?
No.
Are you just assigned a team at birth and then it either pans out or it doesn't pan out?
It's a league-based thing. So at the end of each season, top teams will move up to the next league, bottom ones will go down, and it just sort of shuffles that way. There are a few larger national and international competitions where there might be drafts like that, but then you just have to look at how people are doing in the league and you'll know what's happening. There's less of an off season for soccer. So there's a lot of churn all the time anyway.
No risk, no damage.
Yeah.
Very weak men. It's got to be a bummer for soccer scouts to have to scout the world to figure out where the best players are, as opposed to baseball. They're like, well, I'm going to go to Latin America again.
Yeah.
We do have a big international showcase every 4 years.
What is that? The Olympics?
The World Cup, which is unlike the World Series. It actually involves the world.
Sorry, you guys weren't good enough to make it in to the World Series. Sorry, our bats are rounded and you have to actually swing them.
Yeah, with all due respect, England doesn't want this fucking smoke when it comes to baseball. You don't want to be in our World Series trying to get bounced in the first round.
Some waifish Brit take a 1999 Roger Clemens fastball right into the ribs.
I remember a couple years ago, a team local to me won the Little League World Series. And I was like, holy shit, I didn't think American teams did that. And they were talking about it after. And at one point, one of the coaches was like, and it was different that the international teams weren't here this year. And it's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, that's why you couldn't beat Taipei.
Yeah, you'd normally be getting the brakes beat off you by Curacao instead. You just have to play those kids from Michigan. Unfair. All right, Bob Grenville, fine. Professor Hulkington, Chris Nolan makes bad movies. I like that this guy is shit-talking, but he's also comfortable enough to just call him Chris. They're friends. Chris Nolan makes bad movies. His one trick is filming people walking or using a Steadicam so you don't notice how bad he is at writing dialogue. He's never said anything meaningful, and he can't help but make the most unintentionally insufferable protagonists. This feels a little over the top to me.
You know what's funny, though, is as I'm reading it, I'm like, come on. And then I was like, okay, these are actually some pretty salient points, if I'm being 100% honest.
I might have to recuse myself from this conversation because I've only ever seen one film.
So real quick, Chris Nolan, is he one of yours or one of ours?
He's one of ours, I think.
Is he? Because I don't know where he's from, and I don't want to know.
Well, I'm going to ruin your life. He's from the UK. And currently at the minute, there was quite an amusing thing that happened recently. We've got an election coming up. And obviously, our Conservative Party are currently in major decline.
You vote for a queen? What is this, Naboo?
The queen is dead, Jeffrey. Have some respect.
Yeah.
Right, so that's why you had to have an election. I get it.
No, we got another king. We got a king now. King Charles III.
Oh, like a big, strong, powerful king?
Have you seen his fingers? He'd crush you in half with those. Crush you that's in true. Half. Great phrasing. Love that for me.
Crush you in half.
Get me, Britain.
But yeah, so the current Conservative Party very much in the doldrums. So they are going haywire with advertising and attack ads and election ads and everything like that. And they did this hilariously tacky poster where it's all the great things about Britain that they've put up. And they had the English soccer team and they had His Majesty King Charles III and Christopher Nolan, who had just recently won an Oscar.
And they're like, yay, vote for Christopher Nolan in soccer.
Everyone in my industry was like, no, you hate the arts. You don't get to. No, you don't get that. You're not allowed him. You put him down.
I don't know. I don't think about Christopher Nolan hard enough to have these opinions. I do find it weird that it seems like movies are the only medium where shit like this happens. Where, okay, you're talking about how much you hate Christopher Nolan, and it's clearly coming from a place of having watched Christopher Nolan's movies a lot. So I don't know if I believe criticism like this sometimes, because I'm with Ethan. I've seen a couple Christopher Nolan movies, but I haven't watched them enough.
Oh, I should be clear. I've not seen a Christopher Nolan movie. I've literally only ever seen one film.
Which one?
Matrix Reloaded. Very confusing. Really, really confusing. Didn't get it.
Yeah. The only movie you've ever seen is Jaws 4, The Revenge.
And what a masterpiece that was.
I haven't watched enough Christopher Nolan to have an opinion like this.
As somebody who had to spend a couple months watching Christopher Nolan Batman movies and picking them apart.
Why is that, Jeff?
There are some salient points being made here when you're watching The Dark Knight, and Tom and I came to the consensus that unless every minor character is blind, the movie doesn't work. Unless you're not a main character whose name is on the poster, there's so much weird shit that you're like, that falls apart immediately. It all unravels. He does a lot of shit that unravels. But man, I liked Memento.
I thought Memento was a little overrated. I didn't know that was a Christopher Nolan movie.
That's his first big one.
It was a novel concept, but the movie was fucking stupid.
I mean, I like The Dark Knight. I enjoy it, but it does unravel. And he's right about the insufferable protagonists. Because every time I think about Leonardo DiCaprio in Inception or Christian Bale as Batman, you're like, man, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Gobu killer. Deepfake technology should be used to make biopics and historical dramas. So studios will stop stunt casting real people and just hire the best actors for the job. Also, these biopics and historical dramas should just tell the damn stories in chronological order. If the project isn't interesting enough without storytelling gimmicks, just make a different thing.
So I think Gobu Killer wants to watch documentaries. That seems to be what he's looking for, is a documentary, which is a different kind of movie.
Go Big Killer, I've got a couple of things to say to you, mate. Thank you for sending in a question. Very much appreciate it. If we're using deepfake technology to make biopics, how are we hiring an actor? Because we're not, are we? We're using technology. Also, I've got to admit, I've got a personal stake in this, right?
You play historical characters on television, right?
Yeah, I am in a children's history sketch show. That's my income. Why do you want to steal food out of my children's mouth, Gobo Killer? What is your problem? Let me play Napoleon. Let me be Charles II. I deserve this.
Yeah, man, this is an unpopular opinion, but I think it's unpopular because it's very bad. You don't want a biopic to have storytelling in it? In it.
In it.
You don't want to have storytelling in it.
Why, do you want just a list of dry historical facts then?
I do think there is a thing where with some biopics, it either needs to be a franchise or you maybe shouldn't even do it. Johnny Cash comes to mind. The movie about Johnny Cash is fine. I hated Joaquin Phoenix's portrayal of Johnny Cash. He made Johnny Cash look like he was mentally handicapped. I hated it so much. But also, that's a movie I didn't need it to go in chronological order, but there are so many equally fascinating periods of Johnny Cash's career that just for time constraints, they couldn't get to. And I don't want them to go back and reunite the Wolfpack and do another Joaquin Phoenix movie, but there are other periods in Johnny Cash's life that I would love to see covered in a movie. And also doing it chronologically, by the time you're getting a movie made about you, there's probably too much on that timeline for a movie to be chronological. If you want an example of a movie that tried that, there was the Tupac movie, All Eyes on Me, which is the Wikipedia page of movies. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I was actually going to add that it seems like you just want to read a Wikipedia bio.
Yeah.
Movies are art. All movies are. If you want one that goes in the way you want it, you're literally just describing a documentary, which by all means, watch those. But that's not the kind of movie that we're talking about here. A biopic is not that. And also, fuck deepfake technology. We shouldn't be using that shit for anything.
Yeah, deepfakes, definitely not. I do think people get a little too up in arms about AI sometimes, to the point that it's almost becoming like the phrase conspiracy theory, where people hear it and they're like, all right, I'm out. AI definitely shouldn't be making movies. It shouldn't be making biopics, but it can help me edit a podcast if it wants to. I'm all for that, because here's the thing. I do that myself and it takes a long time, and I'm not going to do it the longer way just because, ooh, AI scary. The way I do it, it's not even AI. I'm still listening and making my own judgments about what to edit. It just helps me do my job faster.
You're using it as intended, which is as a tool to supplement human work.
Not a replacement.
Yeah, that's what it should be used for. It should be a tool. I think a lot of people got really, really overexcited about Joaquin Phoenix as Napoleon, because speaking as someone who has played Napoleon, I think I did it better.
Did you hear what Brian Cox said about it?
Yes, I did.
Brian Cox just in an interview was like, what the fuck was that? I think he even called him wacky. He was like, look at his name, Joaquin, wacky. Yeah, I would have done that better. Brian Cox is at this point in time where he doesn't give a shit. And I love every ounce of that.
He's got all of his Succession money now. He's fine.
I mean, yeah, he's doing McDonald's ads and shit. And he's like, I don't fucking care. Got my Mindhunter money or whatever it was.
I also played Winston Churchill better than Gary Oldman. There, I said it. I'm just better than these people because I know how to tell a joke.
People are saying you are better than Gary Oldman.
Not enough people. Not enough people.
I think you'd be a better prime minister than Churchill.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't subjugate the Indian subcontinent to a brutal regime of starvation. I wouldn't do that. So that's one up for me against Churchill already.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I take it back then. I guess you wouldn't. Yeah. I thought you would do more of that.
Oh, the age of empire is over. We can't anymore.
All right. Next opinion from Baloney, not Abalone. My unpopular opinion is that it is much easier and faster to check your bag when you fly. You don't have to keep track of it, wander in the airport and get it stowed in the overhead. By the time you get off the plane and walk to baggage claim, your bag is already there. Okay. And you have to walk that way anyway to get to transportation. Much easier and, yes, worth the $25 if you have to pay.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
Person?
Yeah. That is just adding more lines to stand in to your trip, potentially.
Have you never had a connecting flight?
Yeah.
Your bag is most likely getting lost.
Yeah, I've had luggage lost by airlines.
Also, there's so much shit you're not supposed to put in checked baggage because of the lack of decompression and the fucking breaking of all your shit. Put your laptop in a checked bag. See how it goes.
Yeah, I'm not a checked bag person. And also this idea that your bag is already there when you get to baggage claim.
That's insane.
Yeah, what airport are you flying in and out of?
I mean, I've not done much flying in my life. I've not done much air travel because I live in a country that you can drive across. So I don't need to do any domestic flights or anything like that. So it's only been a couple of times I've taken a holiday, bruv, or a vacation, as you would call it. But no, I don't see that as being a thing. You don't arrive at the baggage carousel and it's already there. You stand there staring at it for 20 minutes, half hour.
I'd also like to add, what's going on in your life that keeping track of your carry-on is a big problem for you at the airport?
Yeah. That shouldn't be an issue.
I know they have the don't look at other people's bags, but there's so many times I'm sitting next to somebody and be like, hey, I got to take a leak. You mind keeping an eye on this while I go take a leak? I'll do the same for you when you have to leave your bomb somewhere. I do that all the time. No one gives a shit.
Oh, I do not do that all the time. I'll just take my fucking bag with me. What's going on in that bathroom that can't keep it free of piss and shit? Just take it in the bathroom with you. Easy, easy answer. All right. The madcap _laughs. Says, I think professional athletes should be penalized for not properly wearing their mouth guards /chin straps properly. Said properly twice there. You see a lot of football players and hockey players either not wearing mouth guards at all or improperly either dangling from the helmet, or I've seen some sticking it in the top of the helmets. Hockey is bad for chin straps not worn properly and having barely a piece of plastic for mouth guards. If the leagues were serious about protecting players and also trying to be a good influence to youth players, they should be enforcing these existing rules.
Okay, so the athletes should be penalized because the league isn't enforcing it properly.
Or that the league should enforce it properly. This one I kind of agree with a little bit. For all intents and purposes, if you have safety gear, but it's not applied to use in safety, then there's no point in having the gear. After a whistle, you see someone's mouth guard hanging out or whatever. You don't penalize during play, right? It's fine, I guess.
I would say from a gameplay standpoint, from a competitive standpoint, it would just be smarter to keep your mouth guard in all the time. And I saw this happen on TV once with Terrell Davis, especially a game like football. If you're taking your mouth guard in and out, you're kind of signaling that, well, I know I'm not doing much on this play, so I guess I don't need my mouth guard. And there was a game where Terrell Davis, throughout the whole game, when it wasn't a running play, he would have his mouth guard just dangling from his helmet. And it's like, do you not realize that you're just giving that away to the other team? So from a competitive standpoint, if nothing else, keep it in your fucking mouth. But yeah, also, why would you not? Why would you not want to have a mouth guard in? I don't get it.
I said I was taking the piss earlier, but Jeff, you're exactly right. If it's safety equipment, then you need to wear it properly. Otherwise, it stops being safety equipment.
Yeah, remember when they instituted a helmet rule in hockey and everyone's like, not me. And then a bunch of dudes got fucking crippled because of it.
Yeah, athletes are always resistant to change. Remember when we did the Tony Stewart season, and after a driver died, they tried to put other safety regulations in place, and people, including Tony Stewart, fought so hard against that shit.
Well, Tony Stewart just wanted more people to die.
Yeah, you'd think he would want to kill the people himself instead of letting the cars do it.
Well, it makes it easier for him to do his job, Adam.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Next one. Bill in OC.
Oh, very OC opinion coming your way.
Nancy Reagan shouldn't be mocked for being taken advantage of by studio executives. Yes, she was a horrible person, but she was a victim of sexual harassment from those executives. And victim blaming and mocking is wrong, even if the person was shitty. Okay, I'll just mock her for something else then. How about that?
She sucked a lot of dick, man. That's fine. Also, by the way, are we really mocking her for being good at sucking dick? As far as I'm concerned, that's the only good thing we've ever found out about Nancy Reagan. So,
yeah, I don't even know the story behind it because fuck Nancy Reagan. I'm not looking into it. I don't need information. I'm going to check out a Star Wars exhibit at the Reagan Library. And if they have an exhibit about Nancy Reagan blowing people, I'll check it out. But beyond that, I haven't even fucking looked into it. Fuck the Reagans. They're in hell now.
I also think that the clutching pearls, this happened a lot with Lauren Boebert when she got caught, to quote Drew Yonda, blasting fog and cranking hog in the middle of Beetlejuice. And everyone just went, here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to slut shame a woman for being an agent of her own sexuality. And it's like, we're going to shame her for jerking a dude off at a theater with filled with kids.
Yeah.
You absolute self-righteous piece of shit.
Yeah, there's got to be a line when it comes to stuff like that. I know we all want to be free and express ourselves. The one that comes to mind for me is Dennis Rodman saying that his ideal way to retire would be to just game ends. He goes to half court, strips naked, throws the ball in the crowd. And it's like, Dennis, that's a sex crime. There are so many kids in that arena. That is an absolute sex crime. Don't do it. And to his credit, he heard me and has yet to do it.
He did it in Korea.
Yeah. It's not a crime, man.
He did it in North Korea.
Running through the DMZ with his todger hanging out.
If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be him.
Doing a tomahawk jam over a tomahawk missile, baby.
Yeah, he'll be coming from South Korea, though, trying to defect to North Korea.
Trying to escape South Korea.
Ah, oh, Dennis Rodman. What a disappointment. All right, Glenn. Alien is the much superior movie to Aliens. It's not even close. Alien has a way better atmosphere, intrigue, and the Nostromo is way cooler looking than vague planetary base. Also, for fun, Aliens should be called Alien 2 and Alien 3. Should be called Aliens 2. Alien Resurrection can be Aliens because of the cloning.
So again, I'm going to have to recuse myself from this question because I've only ever seen one movie, which is Ice Age Continental Drift. So unfortunately, yeah, I've not got much to say about this one. In all seriousness, Alien and Aliens to me are very different movies.
They're different genres.
Yeah, they're chalk and cheese. They barely have any comparison.
Yeah, Aliens is a Vietnam movie and Alien is a haunted house movie. That's, you cannot compare those two other than there's a similar actor in the Alien. I don't know. It would be like comparing Rambo and Rocky. And you're just like, well, that's not the same thing. Also, I would like to add Ridley Scott has made one good Alien film. For all of the ones he's thrown together at this point, Ridley Scott is fucking one note in the Alien franchise. He took the idea of a haunted house, put it in space, railed it. To say that the better atmosphere, that the Nostromo looks cooler, I'm going to do a hard disagree on that one, primarily because I can't look at anything James Cameron did as far as set dress and think that it's not flawless, because that man knows how to dress a set in ways that he was doing shit teaching the people he was working with how to make it look better. He was also fighting an uphill battle against a fucking British ass company. That's a whole...
You're welcome. We were trying to help him make the better picture, son. We were doing everything we could.
Why'd you sink the Titanic?
It weren't me, bruv. It was a fucking iceberg, son. We can't control these things, can we? We had to sink it because of all those darn Irish.
That is fair.
I have a haunted Titanic sweatshirt. I don't know if I've said that anywhere other than the outtakes. Yeah.
A haunted Titanic sweatshirt.
We went to Las Vegas for Thanksgiving. Me, my wife, and Jeff's bitch ass.
Adam third wheeling it up.
We went to Vegas, and at one point we went to a Titanic exhibit, and there was a gift shop. I'm a sucker for a gift shop, and there was a Titanic sweatshirt, and I was like, well, that's merch I have to have. And my wife was like, really, do you have to have a Titanic sweatshirt? And I was like, oh yeah.
I told her, yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he absolutely does have to have that.
And it's a great sweatshirt, but no matter how many times I wash it, it just smells musty. It smells like the gift shop it was sitting in for 100 years, because no one buys Titanic sweatshirts. So it's ghosts. It's got stink ghosts in it.
Adam, remember when they let us touch community ice?
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah,
that was neat. They have a recreation of the iceberg and you get to touch it.
And you can touch it and they'll be like, see what this ice is? It's fucking cold, right?
Yeah.
And you get to be like, this is fucking ice, man.
And then you bang your head into it.
Yeah.
Is it really that hard?
Like Channing Tatum and Foxcatcher.
Oh, it's a fucking pussy. Oh, look at me. I'm still alive.
Fucking cracked it in half. It fell apart. Inside, a tiny model of the Titanic.
Aw, cute.
And it smells like a musty old gift shop.
Inside that iceberg, Adam's sweatshirt.
I'm going to have to wear that on an episode sometime.
If you can bear the stench.
I made Jeff drive it home because I didn't want to get on an airplane with a Titanic sweatshirt. Just felt like tempting fate, like we would hit an iceberg in the sky or something. It was great.
You're more likely to have a plane that
fly too.
Yeah, no, I had to rent a car to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a $200 sweatshirt for you.
I'm never going to pay you for that. All right. Dave T says, actually, the English language is wasted on most Americans. Living on a rain-sodden island has forced the people of the British Isles to be much more creative with it, especially when insulting each other, which is something we love. Also, Ethan, what is Jack Whitehall actually like? Bonus points if you answer in a way that is unintelligible to Americans. Well, that last part's guaranteed. Also, shut up.
I would like to add that both countries call people cunts. Ours is just way cooler when we do it.
Yeah.
It's only because you guys put too much pressure on the word. That's all it is. It's got more power in the States, whereas we just fling it about like it's nothing. It's got
more power in the States. Adam, sound clip that.
I have an awful suspicion that this guy is referring to what I call centrist dad insults, which is basically compound swear words. And every time I see one, I want to blow my brains out. If they're talking about a politician, they call them a wank puffin or something. And it was kind of cute when it started, but now it just stinks of like 40-year-old man with a pint of real ale.
Is that like that thing in the mid-2010s where the big joke was, there has to be a German word for blank, and then you find out that the reason that there is because Germany just car crashes words together?
I guess a little bit. I mean, it's a sister tongue anyway, but I think it might be compound swears that he's talking about. And if it is, no, absolutely not.
Hey, why don't you tell me more about your sister's tongue?
Hey.
Hey. See, a fucking British guy wouldn't have said that. Suck my American hog, Dave T.
Yeah, right?
Suck my bread pudding or whatever fucking weird ass things you guys like to call pudding.
Oh, I fuck with a sticky toffee pudding, though. That might be the best dessert on the planet.
You're welcome. I invented it.
All right, then suck my spotted dick, Dave.
Sounds diseased. Congratulations to you. What was the other thing that Dave asks?
By the way, all of your food sounds diseased, Ethan.
This is when we have an unpopular opinion episode that involves our opinions. I am going to tear into you, my friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also, Ethan, what's the Jack White or white, mate?
So I've got to answer this in a way that'd be unintelligible to you guys.
Real quick, is he bruv or is he mate?
Well, he's very posh, so he would be chum.
Oh, sure. Sure. That's what I was going to say.
But no, he's a well-paying chum. What can I say?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what the fuck that meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you happy now, Dave?
You know what movie has chum in it? Jaws 4, The Revenge.
Never seen it. I've only ever seen one movie. Madagascar Out of Africa.
Wow. Very colonialist way of saying that.
Is it?
Out of Africa. That's what you did to all those gems, actually.
Actually.
History was my focus in college.
It was my major? That's what we call it? We call it a major?
I didn't go to college, nerd. Ad Markov says, possibly informed by the recent Blur at Coachella business, the UK does music festivals so much better than the US. The crowds, the variety, the bookings, everything. Even the most bougie, commercialized festival in the UK is more real and down to earth. But America is better at doing stadium tours, no question.
I think he said real and down to earth, meaning worse teeth.
Again, I swear to God, you read the unpopular opinion I was thinking about, and you're just doing it to upset me now.
I feel like we should get into Ethan's unpopular opinion after we address this. I'll tell you one thing. I watched a lot of bootleg Nirvana concert videos in my day when I was like really, really, really into Nirvana. And every time they were playing a festival in Europe, the audience would inevitably, during almost every song at some point, just all start clapping in unison with the song. And I found it so fucking annoying and so distracting. And I feel like it's just a thing there. And if so, wrong. This is wrong. Keep your fucking hands in your pockets or on your booze and drugs. Musicians don't need your help.
I think that when he says down to earth, I think you might just mean muddier.
Oh, yeah.
Inevitably, whenever there's a festival, there's also a huge downpour of rain. So everyone's just crawling around in shit all weekend.
That just happened at Coachella. Is that what the Blur at Coachella business was? I don't know what it was.
Oh, Damon Albarn of Blur had a go at the crowd because they were silent. And it's like, yeah, maybe that's just because Blur isn't really a going concern in the year of our Lord 2024.
Yeah. If you had made an album in the past 25 years, maybe more people would be yelling. Maybe they want to hear what your new fucking songs are.
No, I doubt that. He's probably just playing the new songs.
But I think he said something along the lines of, oh, if this is going to be a reaction, then you don't deserve Blur and we're never coming back. And I imagine everyone was like, no, don't go.
No, not the Gorillaz again. Don't make that better band come back. No.
For the love of God.
Yeah, he should have had the cartoons from Gorillaz come out and introduce him. Then people would have been like, oh, that's who that is. Okay, now we're on board.
Maybe. Most of the people at Coachella weren't alive the last time you caught a fucking Blur album there, Damon.
Yeah.
Some girl wearing a racist headdress dancing around on Molly is going to remember fucking girls who are boys, who are boys, who are girls.
Spark Life. The bassist from Blur, Alex James, he's most famous here in the UK at this point for owning a massive farm and making cheese.
Oh, I like that.
That's his whole thing now. He turns up on chat shows and stuff dressed in dirty overalls with messy hair and being all like, yeah, I was in Blur, but now I'm all about the cheese, bruv.
Real quick, around the room, favorite Blur song, Coffee and TV for me, Ethan.
Park Life.
Jeff.
It's probably going to have to be song two because of the intro to FIFA 98.
Yeah, I mean, song two is just really good.
It's really good.
It's a straight up and down great song. There's no denying.
That's a song you want to have fast sex to.
That is a song you can do fucking anything to.
Yeah, including a fat rail of coke.
Yeah. You could play that at a funeral and it'd be like, what can I say? The guy liked to have fun.
Woohoo! You know, the pallbearers would kind of do a little baby toss of the casket in the air.
But also, that song's like 2.5 minutes. So you just have to play it like 65 times. You
really got to fucking sprint down to the grave.
That's the thing. Is there a more efficient banger of a song than Song 2 by Blur? The efficiency is out of control. Maybe the Thundercats theme song.
It's such a weird song, too. Oh, I like it so much.
When I feel heavy metal.
I never got that into Blur.
Well, you were more of an Oasis man, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, A-T-B was.
What? Hey, Ethan, I think you should share your unpopular opinion, because this is feeling like a UK-heavy episode anyway.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'll share it. Americans need, as a matter of national emergency, to come up with new material to be rude about British people with, because you're using the same old stuff. It's getting played out. And I'm not saying for one second that you should leave us alone. I'm saying be more imaginative. There's so much more stuff you can have a go at us about.
This reminds me of a perfect scene that has become a very great meme from Mad Men. We're like, I think you should make more creative insults about us. And we're like, I don't even think about you at all. We have what we have in the Rolodex because we don't want to learn anything new about you guys.
Wow.
You boil your food so it's soft for your hideous teeth and you say bruvin in it.
I like the bruvin in it stuff.
I actually read a thing at one point that dental health in the UK is actually pretty high.
Yeah, we have good dental health, and our food, while not great, is getting better. I'd say it's at least on par with the food in the States now.
No, it's not on par with the food in the States. It's getting better.
It is. Yeah, you're right. It is better than the food in the States. Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff, he didn't say on par. He said on par.
On par. That's how my people say it, actually.
We put our chips and mashy peas on father.
To be fair, our finest Appalachian residents are not going out pretending to be the posh leaders of civilization. So we get a pass for our hideous teeth.
Yeah, I'm also going to be completely honest. Most of the people I know have a fucked up tooth hiding somewhere in their mouth.
100% of Americans on this podcast are missing teeth.
Yeah, I have a bridge. A fucking
bless you, Adam. You spent the majority of last year with a needle in your mouth.
I sure did. Oh, man.
And yet our teeth are still so much better. Because we do the American thing. Tooth giving you a problem? Tug that fucker right out. Don't leave it out for everyone else to see.
Just get it gone.
I mean, that would help. That would obviously help.
It's just a thing for me. I find the brother in it stuff very funny. I find insulting us for our colonial history very funny. I find being insulted as being a closed-minded racist, a small island of very, very angry ham people. That's all great. I just, the teeth thing gets to me.
We do all of that, though. That's just a small modicum of the horrible things we say about you.
I'm not exposed to all of it. The only time I hear what you guys think of Britain's when I'm listening to this podcast or I'm on this podcast.
Bruv.
I know, bruv, innit?
All right, let's try to come up with some stuff. How about all those long lines at your free healthcare?
See, that's perfect. We love our NHS and we hate it when people go on about it.
What about all the musical revolutions you guys started? That's fucking embarrassing, bro. Fucking,
we hate our artistic history. Keep it coming.
The Rolling Stones? Come on.
Bro, we used to be, oh, Spike.
We killed John Lennon.
Yeah, you gave us John Lennon. He showed up, smacked the shit out of some of our fucking people, and we fucking popped him right off. That's what happens when the Brits fuck with America.
Have you seen that picture of John Lennon and Yoko Ono where they're facing away from the camera but nude?
The different butt cracks?
Yeah. John Lennon has the most absurdly long ass crack I've ever seen in my life.
It is a small highway. Yeah.
It looks like a second spine.
That is such a good description of it. He's like he's got a spine in his ass.
All right, next question. Oh, Firebones says, we don't talk enough about the dangers of smoking marijuana. Sure, there aren't as many additives and chemicals as cigarettes, but you're still inhaling thick, gross smoke into your lungs. I enjoy consuming edibles, but still wonder about the long-term health effects of that. Here's the thing. People who smoke know they're smoking, for one thing, but also that, sure, there aren't as many additives and chemicals as cigarettes. You can't toss that out as, well, sure, there's that.
Sure, it's not going to give you cancer.
Yeah, that's a big, 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 big part of the discussion is those additives and those chemicals. That's why I will die on the hill that vaping is 1,000,000% better and safer than smoking. And if you disagree with that, you are a tobacco executive.
But it is 1,000,000,000% less cool. Smoking cigarettes is just, we cannot really push down the amount of how cool smoking looks.
Yeah, but you've never smoked.
Yeah, but I know, I see people and it looks so cool.
But do they have competitive cigarette smoke blowing competitions? No. They have that if you get those big remote control size vapes, though.
I bet you could find a cigarette smoking competition. It might have been in the 1950s, but I bet you could find one.
I believe a cigarette smoking competition used to be called Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and that was different. It wasn't artistic. It was just how many cigarettes could you smoke in 3 minutes?
Just going up looking like you're in the Guinness Book of World Records with a mouthful of cigarettes while you're at the plate. Adam, we may have glossed over a question.
Oh, did we?
By the ghost of Tave Thomas, he asks, if you could have the experience of watching a movie for the first time again, what movie would it be and why?
Yeah, because it's not an opinion.
Oh, you know what? Fuck him. Tave Thomas, how could you do this to us?
It's fine. We can answer it. I don't know. Fargo is my favorite movie. Maybe Fargo. Blair Witch Project. The Blair Witch Project, that was a big one. I had never seen anything like that. I just thought the ending was cool as shit. I loved it. I liked it a lot.
I would watch The Thing again. I don't need to tell you guys why, right?
No, that's a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. This question becomes a lot easier to answer if, like me, you've only ever seen one movie. So my answer will be the only movie that I've seen, which is Shrek Forever After.
I like a DreamWorks loyalist.
What can I say? They have better sequel titles, which makes the joke funnier.
Norm from Cheers says the NFL should have relegation. I agree.
Yep,
that's fine. YTP renewed. Jesus. Buckle in, everybody. My unpopular opinion is that childhood internet use needs to be reined in. If attendees at school board meetings differ so drastically on what's kid-friendly, then a medium with users all over the world, we're never going to agree with each other on what's appropriate for kids. Yet we stifle content intended for adults over fears kids might see it. When anything we could actually do about that, short of keeping kids offline, will only privilege one ideology's opinions of appropriacy for kids over others. Evidently, the solution cannot be to try to sanitize the internet on behalf of one such ideology. Yet parents are going to keep trying so long as their kids are online. I have a great suggestion. You want to keep kids offline? slide this across the table and say, read this 15 times out loud, and then you can go on the internet.
What content is being moderated online?
Online censorship, and I think it's more like how people are dealing with it. It's not an unhinged thing that he's saying, but I think it's too late.
Yeah.
The real answer to this is it's too fucking late, dude. We've fucked these kids over. Kids are fucked. Adults are fucked. We're all just kind of fucked, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, there's no putting that cat back in that bag.
I like the idea that they created those fucking, there's a new phone that you can get kids that keeps them off social media and shit. I'm like, get your kid that.
Yeah.
But then you're just making your kid hate you for not letting them have a Facebook so they can get fucking kidnapped when they're nine. Or not Facebook. Kids wouldn't give a shit about Facebook now, but you know what I mean.
And then I imagine you get to school and you get treated like some kind of pariah because you don't have social media. So that's fine. Oh, being a kid's great. So great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could have been a kid now. Oh, must be so fun with social media. Jesus.
I mean, we are certainly becoming fucking weirdos, that's for sure.
Yeah, that we are. All right, another long one. Nolan the Tubi Terror Bunny says, I don't think a fully work-from-home schedule is any healthier than a fully in-office schedule, at least for corporate jobs. It erodes the barrier between work life and home life, and there is, in my opinion, a tangible benefit to seeing other people you work with in person, at least on occasion. I wish more jobs embraced a more flexible hybrid solution with some days in office and some days at home. I don't know. How about you go to the office and I stay at home?
I do think that there is a lack of human socialization, but also I work from home, so I can't really.
I think when people make that argument, they're pretending that we're not seeing each other at all. I know it's just on a screen, but I just saw Kim Kroll for the first time in person in years. But because of COVID and doing podcasts and seeing each other on Zoom and whatnot, that doesn't even register with me anymore. The first time I saw Travis Clark, we'd been podcasting and things. And so it took me a second to be like, oh, yeah, we haven't seen each other in person, but it's a different world. I think COVID, it fucked a lot of things up, but I think we have at least somewhat adapted to being comfortable with this kind of interaction, too.
I do kind of agree with the idea, too, that by making home the office, you're actually slightly tainting home away from it being that safe space. I could actually see that. I don't necessarily see it in my personal space in that regard, but I could totally see as that's an actual viable point.
But see, that is a viable point, but why do we want this? And I'm not saying we as in you or me, but the person with this opinion, why does the answer need to be, okay, well, everyone does it one way? Because I know for some people, not having that separation from work and home isn't the best thing. Meanwhile, for some people, it might be. I don't thrive in an office setting. And if you know me well enough, that probably doesn't surprise you at all. I do not do well in offices. I've been working in comedy on the internet since 2007. And my entire goal when I was doing that and still working office jobs was I never want to have to go to an office again. I hate it. I hate the vibe. I hate the, oh, we're all a family here. Fuck off. No, we're not. We are not a family. And you know that. And I just hate that false camaraderie. I'm here to work. What?
I do like that you said false camaraderie. That is your own answer, I guess, right? That it's a false camaraderie.
I think it is a false camaraderie. I've worked in enough offices to know.
I've never felt like the camaraderie was false with the friends that I had at work. It wasn't false for me. It was like, these are my friends that I meet at work and that I talk to. And some of my friends that I still have to this day are people that I taught with back in the day. It wasn't false.
Counter to that, go to the office then.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think also there's 30 different paragraph responses to each other in the middle of this Q&A thing about how people are basically boiling it down to everybody has their own needs for this.
Well, that's where I'm at here, because I didn't even realize this was still an active argument.
Why don't you go act from home, Ethan?
Yeah, right. I feel like this argument was basically settled, which is we've now discovered that it is possible to work either all in office, all at home, or flexible on a hybrid. We shouldn't be forcing anyone to do anything. You need to do the work that you can adapt to.
In an office job.
Yeah, we're in a situation now where there is a big push from big corporations to get people back into the office so they're not losing money on their complexes and things like that. That's just as shit an argument as saying that it has to be hybrid. It doesn't have to be anything.
I actually love that landlords and real estate companies are taking a huge hit.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
That's actually, that's good. I like that a lot.
My house has just been sold out from underneath me and I'm having to move. I'm in a position right now where I am also not particularly pleased with landlords. Easy for me to say, obviously, from my position, because I work as an actor. 99% of my time, I'm at home, either writing, chasing up emails, admin, getting stuff out there, doing stuff like that. And the 1% of the time where I am working, it's very much all or nothing. I have to go in because if I'm not there, we can't do the show. So that's fine. That works for me. But then working pizza delivery, again, I had to be in the whole time. And that was fine. I didn't mind it. I mean, you can't do that hybrid. But, you know, that's ultimately, I've never worked in an office. I don't know how I would react to it. I doubt I'd react to it well. I don't have that sort of brain, that sort of mood, that sort of thing. Actually, but I don't know. I think just let people fucking get on with it, ultimately.
Yeah, bit more bruv than mate.
Bit more bruv than mate.
A lot of the arguments do boil down to, well, this is what I like, so why doesn't everyone else like it?
Why isn't everyone me?
Yeah. Why doesn't everyone else feel the way I feel? It's, people are different. I don't know. Because some people work in offices that suck, man. Why do you want to force them to go there just because you don't know how to make friends outside work?
I will say I'd rather hate my job in an office than hate my job at home, because at least I could then stop having that hate on the same couch or in the same chair that I like to sit in.
Well, I think it is important if you work from home to set aside a separate workspace. Don't just sit on your couch and work and then toss your laptop aside and finish the rest of your day sitting in that same spot. That's not good for a whole host of reasons. Mental health, physical health, all sorts of things. So yeah, have a separate space, but I don't know. Let people work where they want to work. I say. All right. Yeah, we actually don't have that many left because a lot of it is people arguing about working from home.
Which is good because I got to go see Monkey Man.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
Dev Patel, he's one of ours. You're welcome.
How? How is he one of yours?
Because he comes from Britain, mate, innit?
Mm-hmm.
He does.
You're almost there. How did Dev Patel find his way into India?
Dev Patel was born in England, Jeff. That'd be so racist.
Wow. You fucking blew it, Jeff.
I did. And that's okay.
All right. Jacob says, this one is mostly for Jeff. All right. Fuck you. I think The Dark Knight Returns is way overrated. Frank Miller's art has always been terrible, even when it was legible. And its version of Batman acts out of character. I get that it was impactful back when it first came out, but it's not really an essential Batman story for someone who wants to understand the character. I mean, before Jeff answers, I'll say not everyone wants to understand the character. People just sometimes want to watch a fucking movie. But go on, Jeff.
It seems like you might be missing the point of the actual book, if that's what you think. This book has never been established for people to understand the character. Nobody's first Batman book should be Batman The Dark Knight Returns. I'm going to disagree with you on the art. The Dark Knight Returns art is quite good. That's just a fucking weird thing to say, but it's your opinion, and artistic styles and flourishes are what they are. But kind of the point is that Batman was acting out of character, but then wasn't. And it's also a reflection more of its time than of its character. It's clearly a very Reaganized version of what this world would be like. So I don't know, man. I think you're just wrong, but that's okay. You can be wrong.
Yeah, it happens. That's what we're here for, to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Yeah.
And our decision is binding, and you are barred from issuing any further opinions for the next 30 days if we decide that your opinion's wrong. But beyond that, this is chill. We're just chilling. All right.
See you in 30 days, Jacob.
Yep. All right. There is one more. It's from Rooster.
Bloody Rooster's at it again.
And Rooster put his typing hat on for this. In a nerfed version of the premise that Oppenheimer should have won the Nobel Prize because the atomic bomb made future world wars a dicey proposition at best, I would submit that the internet was safer when it was basically 95% porn sites, AOL, and Angel Fire. No parent in their right mind would have even considered leaving their kids alone with unsupervised online access. Question: why are they being charged with child neglect? Answer: they left their kids alone on the internet. I think this is right and wrong. The stuff up top about Oppenheimer winning a Nobel Prize, anyone making that argument is fucking insane.
They give a Nobel Prize to fucking anyone these days.
Yeah, Obama got one for theory, so.
Yeah, but I would say citation needed for this idea that the internet was safer, and also definitely the idea that no parent in their right mind would leave their child on the internet. I think that might be more a thing where when the internet was like that, not as many people had access to it. And not everyone has
dial up, right?
Yeah. And not everyone has time or the ability to monitor their child on the internet that way. Some people are out here working two jobs. There are a lot of poor people in this country who fucking struggle to make time for damn near anything except working. And those people weren't really on the internet back when it was Angel Fire sites.
I will supposit that porn is safer for children to access than social media.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I actually think that when it was basically 95% porn sites, AOL and Angel Fire is a good way of saying the internet was safer when social media didn't exist. And with that, I will wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, I've said a bunch of times, we need to just roll it back to kind of this point, though, where you would go to the internet and find your people and you would all go hang out in a place. And then the other people would have their own place. And now we're all on Facebook, or we were all on Facebook, and it broke us. It fucking broke us.
It was. Internet comedy peaked at You're the Man Now, Dog at ytmnd.com. That was it. Just right there. Before Adam was able to make a career at it. That's when I want to go back to, is before Adam was allowed to do comedy on the internet.
Oh, I would have figured it out. Don't you worry about that. So yeah, I don't think there are any other, it's just people arguing about working from home. It's the rest of the Discord.
And rugby.
Yeah.
There was a little bit about us liking sports and Ethan doesn't count because the British are stupid.
Oh yeah, rugby does suck. Yeah. Rugby's boring.
Yeah, well, so is baseball.
Drop some plays.
Yeah, baseball is boring, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Come at me with the rugby is boring thing and then say your own thing's boring, but that's fine. It's all fine. It's all boring, and it's all bad.
Any sport you can do in a collared shirt doesn't count.
You're just jealous because you have to wear armor to do your version of rugby.
Here's the thing. Baseball, and I talk about this on stage, baseball is meant to be boring, but in this case, the boring is like that thing where two cats see each other out in public and they both just fucking haunch up and start growling at each other. And you know, neither of them's going to do a fucking thing.
But there's tension.
It's tense the whole time. That's when baseball is good. Baseball is actually at its best when the least amount of shit is happening.
I probably shouldn't have stuck my oar in anyway, because growing up in the UK, I just assumed I didn't like any sport because of what was actually available to watch. So I'm the last person who should be advocating for British sport is good, actually.
Yeah. Cricket? You ever watch cricket? Sticky wickets?
I've watched cricket for about 2 minutes and then turned it off because I would genuinely rather go and measure the grass outside.
Yeah. If you're wearing a sweater vest, it's not a sport.
Profoundly tedious sport. Profoundly. It is just... God, you could genuinely just fall asleep to that. And I think some of them actually do.
But also I said that like there's no sweater vests in tennis throughout history. They used to make those cats bundle up.
They used to make the ladies wear long skirts. Exactly what you need for athletic competition.
Actually, I think that would make it real interesting if everybody had to wear a giant pencil skirt or something while they were playing.
Yeah, men and women both. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Tuxedo top and ball gown bottom. Let's get it.
Having to play tennis in a football helmet would be, I would watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. Full pads. That would be amazing. All right. I think that's our episode. We have successfully done it. Ethan, Jeff, thank you both for doing the pod, except for Jeff.
Huh.
What do we have to plug before we get out of here? AdamTodBrown.substack.com. That's all I got right now. Ethan, what do you got?
At Ethan D. Lawrence everywhere, large actor on Substack. I'm going to make a little plea. I alluded to it earlier. There's not been that much work recently, and I've just been hit with a big house move. So money is a little tight at the minute. I have a cameo. It is very, very competitively priced, as Jeff knows. I just saw him perk up over there. It is very, very competitively priced. I keep it cheap because I'm not worth all that much. And I know things are tough. I'm not asking anyone to do anything they wouldn't do normally, but if you've got a spare dollary do, chuck it in the pot. I'll do you a nice video for your mum, and you'd be able to pay for a fridge that I'm going to need to buy. So that's just my plea. Go to my Cameo, Ethan Lawrence. And yeah, it's cheap. It's cheap and cheerful. They're very, very well produced.
Do it. Send one to a stranger.
Definitely send one to a stranger.
I got two. Because one, even though I made very clear, obvious allusions to the fact that I was doing a bit about how Adam doesn't even like sports, Ethan was like, I couldn't tell if that was you.
I didn't want to take the risk. I didn't want to take the risk by going in with a load of in-jokes. There was enough plausible deniability.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth it. I have purchased a Cameo for Adam from Ethan, where Ethan just talks mad shit on Adam. And I didn't even pay for that. That was just for fun.
Oh, yeah. You got mates rates for that one.
I sued Ethan for defamation in England for that.
Yeah, and this is also why money's tight at the minute, because Adam's taken all my beans and he's now forced me also to come on his podcast and create content for him. That was in the stipulation.
I also printed a flyer and posted it all over the place so Adam could sue for libel as well.
Right. I appreciate that, Jeff.
Landlords and wide adults have ruined my life.
Get a Cameo from Ethan, everybody. I do podcasts. Jeff has cool friends. Nerd, the Nerd episode of the month just dropped, featuring guest Adam Todd Brown. Don't know if you've heard of him. Dre Alvarez and I are doing a season on action figure and toy reboot lines. And we started with G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, featuring superfan Adam Todd Brown. Adam on the show buys something on eBay. Listen to the episode to find out. You can get that wherever you get Jeff Has Cool Friends, such as patreon.com/Jeff May, where you get early access to uncensored episodes with bonus content, plus exclusives like Ugg Fine with Kim Kroll. And you can even get stuff in the mail. Not you, Ethan. You live in the UK. I ain't mailing shit to you, pal. If it has to go on a boat, I'm not mailing it to you. But definitely check all those things out. Tom and Jeff watch Batman on Gamefully Unemployed, Mint on Card, second Friday of every month, Blast from the Past on Beautiful Magnolia in Burbank, California, and all the shit I do with Adam. Okay, bye.
All right. Let's get out of here. Ethan, say goodbye.
Cheerio, bruv.
Jeff, say goodbye.
You get the Cheerios, bruv, rookie card.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Jim, whatever that is.